you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is...
That's right, it is I, Mike the Birdman Dodd from the Great White North.
Called Canada.
Exactly, called Canada, though more specifically north of Toronto. If you really want to get things down to the nitty-gritty, I'm from a little place called Guelph, Ontario, home of Guelph Storm, the only notable thing that I can think about this entire town.
Nice.
It's a hockey team. I think they're out of the playoffs. I'm 99% sure of that. That's about how much I've been following that local sports team. Hey, because if you're in Canada, the only things you care about are hockey, maple syrup, and occasionally baseball. Let me see. I'm pretty sure the Raptors are out of the playoffs. I know the Toronto Maple Leafs are out of the playoffs. I think it's Winnipeg Jets versus everybody right now.
Yeah, I know nothing. Yeah.
Yep, I know nothing. I'm just making it up as I go along. But that's okay. That's what we do here at Altered Geek. Make it up as we go along.
Yeah, sometimes. recent news, there's been a couple of mergers that are a little bit interesting. And I thought that it would be the perfect topic to bring up in the episode. Namely, the ones between we have Sprint and T-Mobile. And we have Hasbro buying Power Rangers first from Saban.
Yeah, and that deal went through for something like $533 million or something like that,
Which is cheap for that franchise, I think. But
see, that's ludicrous. But then again, they own the toy rights, the film rights, the television rights. So we've had the Saban era, the Disney era, Neo-Saban era, and now we're in the Hasbro era. Of Power Rangers, which will begin with Beast Morphers, I think, next year, because we're just finishing Super Ninja Steel right now. So I'm interested to see what will happen with this particular toy line specifically, because what will be continued, what will be discontinued, what toy lines will come out of this. I'm hoping they'll continue the legacy line of figures from Bandai of America and Bandai of Japan. They've been a big favorite of mine. They're the only Power Rangers toys I really collect. I now have a complete, or 95% complete Mighty Morphin set of the Legacy figures, which I've gotten some incredible deals on. I'm only missing Metallic Pink, the Green Ranger, and that's it. I've got everything else that I want, so.
Yeah, see, I wonder what Hasbro is going to do. I mean, I know they're going to milk it as far as the toys are concerned, but they really didn't have much way in the as far as like tentpole franchises, other than what they created themselves as from a toy line originally. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Power Rangers from here on out.
Well, you see, one of the things I'm very curious about is how they'll cross over with other franchises. I guarantee you there will be a Power Rangers Transformer crossover at San Diego Comic-Con next year. If they are smart, there will be a Dinobot Combiner colored in the Megazord colors, because that's a no-brainer, and that's just a recolor and a retool, as far as I know.
The only way I would see that happening is in comic form.
Well, that's another interesting thing, too, because currently most of the Hasbro licenses are at IDW, but Boom Comics has Go-Go Power Rangers and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers right now, but who knows how long that license has been signed for.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what'll happen with that, because IDW, like I said, has Transformers, My Little Pony.
Ninja Turtles.
Oh, no, that is Playmates, not Hasbro.
But IDW has Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm curious to see what'll come out of this. Now, seeing a Transformers crossover with Power Rangers to me seems like a no-brainer. I guarantee you we'll see something mocked up by Toy Fair next February. Guaranteed. Also, if you were to put a Ranger helmet on a My Little Pony figure, guarantee you'd sell some ponies that way. Like if you had Pinkie Pie up as the Pink Ranger, that sells itself virtually. Like there's so many possibilities to cross brand between boys and girls. Now they can expand the brand out. I'm curious to see what it means for other toy lines. Like, for example, Hasbro owns Nerf. if you told me I could get a Mighty Morphin Blade Blaster that shoots little Nerf darts, or like when they have Beast Morphers, there's going to be Power Ranger Nerf guns, I assure you. There'll be Power Ranger Nerf weaponry, like probably the Power Sword and all that stuff from Mighty Morphin or whatever.
That would be a no-brainer, honestly, with that setup.
Yeah, like there's so much stuff here. Plus Hasbro's animation, most of the original Mighty Morphin cast is still around and is still active doing stuff. If you told me, if you want to make money, you make a Netflix or whatever series animated, you do Boom Comics Shattered Grid. If you did that in animated form with as many people as you can get, obviously you can't get Thuy Trang because she passed away, but if you got everybody to come back for, say, 13 episodes, put it on Netflix or put it on Hulu or something, you have made so much money, you are laughing all the way to the command center.
Yep.
Like, it's stupid how much money you could possibly make off this. And that's another thing, too. I mean, one of the other things I wonder about, because Power Morphicon is this huge Power Rangers convention that happens, I think, every year or every 2 years. Will that get folded into HasbroCon, which is the big one that happens out east?
I think it would get folded into HasCon, unfortunately. And Hasbro has this reputation for their conventions.
Yeah, and that's really going to hurt it, because Power Morphicon is phenomenally well run. It's got a lot of star power behind it. Basically, any ranger who's ever been on the show shows up. Like, they're like, hey, you want to come out? Yes, sure I do. I am the Pink Ranger from Zeo, or the Red Ranger from, I don't know, Time Force or whatever. And yeah, they'll all show up.
And that's even better than any of the Transformers ones that have been over the years. That and G.I. Joe, like, they haven't really... I mean, they've had their pull, but when Hasbro got more involved, the conventions not only started charging more and making it near impossible for anybody to afford anything at any of the conventions, in the way of interviews or pictures or signings or whatever, they essentially killed like BotCon. I went to one of the last BotCons before they folded it into HasCon, which was a total joke from what I heard from a couple of people that were involved with the original BotCon and parts of Hasbro.
See, part of the problem, as I've worked on the convention side behind the scenes of it, when you start getting corporate influence, things start to go a little bit sideways. You start to get a little too much meddling. You start to get a little too much corporate buzzword and corporate jargon. And at that time, you're not building it for the fans. You're not building it for your paying attendees. And that's where things get a little bit dicey, which is really, really unfortunate, because it's the fans and the consumer that suffers when they're trying to, because this should be a huge marketing event. Honestly, HasCon or whoever, the powers that be at Hasbro should be like, okay, you guys do what you need to do. You will have some corporate oversight. We'll give you the once over. We trust you. See you later. We'll see you on Sunday of the convention.
Yeah.
Trust them to do what's right. Like, BotCon knew what they were doing for the most part. HasCon, well, I've heard similar problems where it wasn't as spectacle that it should have been.
The thing is I've gone to both TFCon and BotCon.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the two, I went with my brothers. I met half the people I did fan dubs with. I met Frank Welker. I met a variety of other people I knew in the fandom at BotCon, and including people that we've talked to on GCRN and Michael Wilson, one of the co-hosts of a lot of the Transformers podcasts. But BotCon did not live up to my expectations. Whereas when I went to TFCon in Canada years before, I enjoyed that convention probably the most out of any convention I've ever gone to.
Now, is that because it's a little bit smaller a little bit more intimate.
They're almost as big, and it was just better run. Like the timing between things was better. Between like panels, the way that they organized lines, the way that they organized like just about everything was just infinitely more satisfying. The interactions were better. How they, you know, they didn't really rush you along when you were going to meet the guests and get pictures and photo ops and stuff. I mean, I went and talked with Scott McNeil, who's a phenomenal person anyway, and they wanted him to kind of move it along. They brought him food. He sat there. He ate it, you know, while he was still meeting guests so that he could still sit there at the table. And he would do his voices for people and do, you know, voicemails and sign as much stuff as they wanted, sit there and have little anecdotes and, you know, just, it didn't really matter. Like, and then you go to BotCon, which was run by, you know, corporate oversight, and then everybody was kind of like, all right, you got your thing, move along.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate because that's definitely upon the con organizers, not just the con chair and the main committee, but the people that are on the floor doing the work. And obviously, they have to take their orders from somewhere. That's unfortunate. I mean, it's really good for TFCon because they're representing their guests and moving the convention well for everybody.
Well, and they got big enough that they actually started having a TFCon in Chicago as well, like in the fall.
Oh, that I didn't know.
They have it in Chicago in the fall, and then they have it in the summer in Canada, in Mississauga. And they also, I think they swallowed up another small convention that was about to fold under in, like, North Carolina or South Carolina or something, and it was about to go under, and they folded it into TFCon and just made it another event location.
Now, are you going to TFCon this year?
Probably not, but it's more so just because I don't really hit the convention scenes as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most of my experience from convention comes from Con Bravo. I was involved in that for a couple of years, and I also did Con G, oddly enough, here in Guelph a couple of years ago as well, before that convention decided it was time to close the curtain on it. But back to the merger talks, there's a lot that Hasbro can learn from the fan scene, especially Power Rangers has a very passionate, very committed fan scene. Obviously, Transformers and My Little Pony having their own passionate fan scenes. And Hasbro does seem to listen to those fans occasionally and occasionally makes the right call for them.
But they almost equally make the bad decision too.
Exactly. I'm very curious to see how this will all play out, especially because Power Ranger collectors are just as rabid as Transformers collectors. We expect a certain quality of the build of the toys. We expect equal between collector scale, be it Masterpiece or Transformers, or the Legacy line from Power Rangers. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. I can't see Hasbro shutting out the collectors, but Hasbro primarily markets the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that Hasbro toys that are built for collectors are, some of them are pretty cool for kids. Like you look at some of these Titans Returns figures. Or
well,
some of these
those are marketed figures towards, like, in a sense, like us.
Mid-market, basically.
Yeah. Hasbro has, like, three different tiers. They have, like, the very simplistic designs. They have the ones that are, like, geared towards their more adultish series on Machinima. And then they have, like, their Masterpiece line. And then whatever happens to come out in between, like, for the films and for, like, the timelines of like, universe kind of just legacy figures. And they have many moving parts going on between them, depending on what's going on in the media. So it'll be interesting to see what they do as far as the toys with you know, them producing them instead of Bandai Namco or whatever it is, the company that produces them. The other thing too is we could end up seeing a more kid more kid friendly and a more adult version of Power Rangers, like kind of further separating the lines of what we have now.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me they would produce something that was equal to their legacy line but something a little bit more adultish, I'd be all for it. Like, if you told me they could produce a really good
Shattered
replica.
Grid.
Yeah, if they could produce Shattered Grid as a Netflix series or even as like a one-shot animated movie or something like that. I'd be down for that.
I would love to see it as a Netflix series, honestly.
I mean, there's so much money to be made there, or if like Hasbro could, like I said, adapt so many things from it, or I'm curious to see where they'll take Beast Morphers, what toys will come out of that, because you know those toys are already being tooled up right now. I mean, I know they're still casting the show right now, but you know the Zords are ready to go. The action figures that don't show the actors' faces are already being tooled. So I imagine we'll see product leaks because Hasbro, at least in my experience, you always see toys being leaked a few months before Toy Fair.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see Hasbro Power Rangers toys leaked probably in the next couple of months, if not sooner.
And that's one of the wonderful things about Hasbro is a lot of that information comes out sooner just because the Hasbro fan base of whatever toy franchise that they have is practically all over it when it comes to any kind of news that comes out of that company. And they're one of the biggest toy retailers in the world. I mean, you got Mattel in there too, but I mean, those are pretty much the two juggernauts.
Yeah, and Mattel, they hold a portion of the Power Rangers license, but I guess they don't anymore because they had the Imagine X Megazord, Dragonzord, and the White Tiger Zord. So I guess that license is now reverted to Hasbro, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure on that, but I knew that Bandai Namco had the license for the most part, and I used to follow a lot of the stuff that they had. I mean, I don't really collect toys anymore, but still, like, I enjoy looking at the level of quality that comes out of the companies now compared to what we got as adolescents.
One thing I hope they'll do, it's something that's kind of a recent addition to the Power Rangers line, not just legacy stuff, which I've talked endlessly about, but they do these throwback toys. They recently did... the auto morphers, where you'd press their morpher button on their belt and the heads would flip between their unmorphed head and the helmet. I'd like to see more of these older toys come out as sort of re-releases, kind of like how they did Transformers Classics a couple of years ago.
Well, funny you should say that. Hasbro is notorious for repaints and rehashing old molds. So if they produce it once, you're pretty much going to see it come back at some point.
It'll be interesting to see how they do that with Power Rangers because each season has new Zords. Now, if we're getting repaints and recolors, okay. Actually, I just thought of a really awesome idea for if they wanted to do a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. Hasbro, I hope you're listening. You want to make some money, and I mean real money. Money I will pay for because this is how cool this is. In Power Rangers Shattered Grid, there's something called the Grave Zord. The Grave Zord is made out of all the destroyed Zords, and that's Lord Draken's new, basically evil, kick-ass Zord that'll fight the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Megazord in the course of Shattered Grid. Or if you give me the Shattered Grid Sentries, the yellow, the black, the red, the Ranger Slayer, they don't have a blue one because Draken didn't get the blue coin. And you give me Lord Draken in like a 5-pack, even if it's the 3¾-inch scale, that's money. Just throwing some ideas at you.
Oh, I'm sure they'll come up with something.
Oh my God. Next year, San Diego Comic-Con cannot come soon enough. I'm really excited to see what they're gonna pop out. But that's not the only merger we talked about. Sprint and T-Mobile have yes. merged, right?
Yes.
And how many phone companies do you guys have left?
We have a lot of smaller ones still around, you know, like Cricket and some of the other wireless ones. But, I mean, for the most part, it's Verizon's AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, and in that order, as far as global reach, and or at least in the United States. But I've always wanted to try T-Mobile just for the sake of it because I've had Verizon in the past. I've had AT&T. I've had Sprint. Sprint was terrible. AT&T is not much better. Verizon was probably the quickest and the best calling that I've ever had on a phone. But their prices are outrageous. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do after the merger, because none of the companies are in the realm of affordability. And I say that being one of the people that did the... it was around the time that before they had contracts ending, like before they stopped doing the contracts altogether, they had the option to lease the phones to own. And we opted for that method. And then when we paid it off, it allowed a much cheaper cell phone bill. So it's literally under $100 for two phones with, you know, I think 7 gigs of data and, you know, unlimited talk and text, which is standard on everything now. And Sprint, we had unlimited everything, but the service sucked. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the pricing is once they come out. Once they have a full merger going on, they're going to retain the T-Mobile title, and Sprint will be no more. The CEO of T-Mobile will be the CEO of the new T-Mobile Sprint-owned company. Mm-hmm. They're essentially wanting to get bigger so that they can play ball in hardball Verizon and AT&T.
Because so things are going to get messy, basically.
It's going to get super messy. And they're wanting to essentially combat with the big boys now at this point. So the only way they can take over that table is by merging, you know, two medium size to create a juggernaut. And they're by no means, you know, as big as AT&T or Verizon, but they can put a nice dent in them now. And so I'll be looking forward to seeing what they do there. I wish that the phones were more affordable because I'm currently in the market. I really don't want a piece of garbage phone, but at the same time, I can't afford a $800 a piece phone. So
I listen to a radio station out of Philadelphia quite a bit, MMR, and doesn't Sprint have a deal right now? You can get two iPhone 8s for like $0 as long as your credit's good.
Not as far as I know, but I also don't fly the Apple flag.
But say that could be local to Philly for all I know.
It could be.
But yeah, I'd be curious to see what kind of deals you'll get, like who their primary supplier of devices is, be it Samsung or whoever the major Android is.
As far as Android, Samsung is pretty much the number one because they're the one that's always sold neck and neck with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have a new Samsung Galaxy phone, but I don't like the price attached to it. Motorola would be my second favorite go-to. I've had HTC phones before. They're horrible. I've thought about getting a ZTE phone, which I've kind of talked about on the podcast before because they have the double-screened multitasking phone, but apparently the ratings weren't that great on it. I'm thinking about an Asus phone as a possibility because I can get one for about $200 and have better... I can basically double what my phone does currently, being the Galaxy S5, so... but I'm kind of waiting for my phone to die at the same time.
I don't know. I've had another phone that wasn't an iPhone very early on back 2008, 2009. I've been iPhone ever since. I can't imagine going to anything but iOS, which is weird. And it's not because I'm an Apple fanboy, because I'm afraid of change and Apple is safe to me. Obviously, with some of their software patches bricking phones and other devices at times, that's a pain in the ball sack, to say the very least.
Well, see, I've always thought about trying a Microsoft phone, but at the same time, I've got Windows, so I really don't want a Microsoft phone. So
yeah, exactly, because you don't know whether it'll work if you turn the thing off.
Well, I mean, they just had recently some bad Windows update that, because Windows update, you can't turn it off, and it kind of forces itself to install. Although the new Spring Creators update, they're supposed to do away with the auto install. They're supposed to let you pick a time. But I have it disabled completely. Like, all Windows Update functions are dead on my computer on purpose. And I won't tell how long ago I did this, because there's varying stages you can do it, and it tells which version you have. But I killed it enough that it will no longer install Windows Update unless I physically unlock all of the things I did to it. But they had a bad Windows Update that bricked a bunch of copies of Windows and gave them blue screens, and had to revert said update. And luckily they are able to do that, but still, it was kind of a mess.
You would hear me screaming from here in Michigan if that ever happened to my computer.
Yeah, I'm...
Guaranteed.
I have three Windows 10 machines in my house. One's a laptop, one's a portable computer, and one's my desktop. And all of them have Windows 10 on it. All of them have Windows 10 update disabled. The portable one that we use for the television asks me every time I boot it up, do I want to do the update? There's something wrong because it can't connect and update. But it knows that it needs an update. So it'll load the browser and tell me how to manually update it. And I'm like, no, click.
Nope, fuck that noise.
Yep, and then the laptop gives me an occasional one, and then my desktop never does it anymore, thankfully.
My desktop, I did get a Windows update a couple of weeks ago, and fortunately it didn't mess up. But yeah, having a Windows phone, it's untested territory. I don't trust them enough. As cool as it would be to have Cortana be my virtual assistant, I'm fine with Siri.
See, I've witnessed the power of Amazon's Echo, and I honestly would not mind having a Alexa AI device helping, but at the same point, I don't necessarily use any of the assistant programs.
It's just one of those. See, I like it because it's fun. Sometimes I can make it do some funny things, but yeah, it's not something I would rely on in my day-to-day usage as a user.
Well, now, and they listen to you, like.
Well, then my phone is hearing me making fart noises, bad jokes, and talking to my wife. Your CIA can do with that data whatever they want to.
They don't care.
You hear that?
They don't care you're Canadian, but Microsoft might. They can hear everything we're saying.
Oh, well, that's no fun.
Well, when you use Skype, they actually screen all of them, like, through a thing now.
I probably shouldn't say the words bomb and terrorist in the same sentence, right? Like now. Like, what will get me put on a watch list, Steve?
You'll never enter Michigan again.
Wouldn't that be funny? You were on a podcast with this Mr. Megatron. I'm like, oh, Christ. Wouldn't that be hilarious, though? I would kind of die laughing at the border. It would be a massive inconvenience, but I would die laughing.
They would detain you. They'd be like, do not pass go.
Yeah, do not collect $200. Not get into this country, Mr. Terrorist Dodd. I'm thinking, well, excuse me.
Just tell them, live free or die hard.
That's right. Like, oh, that sounds like words of a secessionist or something. I'd be like, oh, my God.
I'm not from California, anyway. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not Looney Tunes. Just trust me. But anyway, I mean, the merger could be good. Maybe it'll improve cell service in certain areas, though I can't see them putting a lot more money into infrastructure. They'll probably just rebrand those towers.
Yeah,
you might get a softer upgrade.
Yeah, I'm a little leery of it, but I would be willing to try it once it's in. I mean, I'm kind of at this point, like, I'm waiting for my cell bill to kind of. There's an eventual skyrocket. Like, it's been going up like a couple of pennies a month since our phones have been paid off. Eventually it's going to end up to where it's over $100, and you know, once it hits the $120 mark, then I'll switch. But
I think I'm paying about $120 now, and that's Canadian, and you guys have way better cell phone plans than we do.
Yeah, I mean, we do, but they also, like, they rip you off. And I think also, they purposely will throttle older phones to get you to upgrade to newer stuff.
I could believe it. I
think that there's like a death switch built into these phones, because it seems like when you hit about the year and a half mark, they kind of give you this itch for a new phone, because your phone starts working like crap.
Yeah, my wife's phone, for example, her phone, I think, is complete garbage, which is why I'm not a big fan of Android. And her phone started to crap out at about the year and change mark, give or take, because she's on a 2-year cycle, as am I. I mean, I purposely took an older iPhone so I could get more storage. I got a 256 gig iPhone 7 Plus. I could have took a 64 gig iPhone 8 for the same price. But I'm like, I want the storage. My wife has a Samsung something or other, and that thing has nothing but problems.
See, I've got the S5, the Galaxy S5, and so does my wife, and we've had them since they came out, and now they're on the S9. I just don't want to spend the money.
That's why we got to get you hooked up with some cell phone reviewer people, and figure that shit out.
Oh, I would, too. I would have fun with it, because to me, like, the biggest thing is battery life. And how the phone actually functions, like how much memory is in it and, you know, how much crap I can run.
For me, it's all about the camera and memory.
That too.
Because I take a lot of pictures. Yeah. So, and my iPhone now shoots, I think now they all natively shoot 4K.
Yeah, my phone has higher capabilities. The problem is that when something's moving, it takes horrible pictures.
Mm-hmm.
There's like no proper focus, and I think that's because like the phones themselves don't have good cameras. Although I hear that new stuff does, because they put two cameras in the phones now.
Oh yeah, because you got your front facing camera, your rear facing camera. They also have one built for telephoto stuff, meant for stuff at a longer range, and then stuff that's closer, like your kind of macro camera, so
yeah,
to speak.
They put the double camera on the back side now, so that they can take, you know, the two distances and create a perfect meld of photo quality.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the back of my phone right now, the iPhone 7 Plus. I kind of wonder if I have two cameras, because I've got two lenses on the back of it, so I'm guessing I do.
If you do, then you're lucky. I don't.
We'll work on it, Steve. We'll work on it.
Yes. So anyways, that I think kind of rounds about this episode of Altered Geek.
I think so too. I mean, obviously we've talked about the Hasbro and Power Rangers merger. Is this going to be a good thing for the Power Rangers brand? Likely. We'll have to wait and see. We'll know more about Toy Fair in February. We'll see what images leak out between now and then. Sprint and T-Mobile. Well, we'll have to see if what they'll offer as in terms of a competitive package for new users. Will they find a new flagship phone? We'll have to wait and see.
Yep. So you can get a hold of the podcast on the social media in most places by searching at Altered Geek. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at SCP21 and yourself, sir.
You can find me at Birdman Dodd across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Morphin time!